You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
A lot of people saw that I was really mean, very outspoken, but not in the right way. I felt like there were so many big personalities that if I didn't speak up, I would have just like gone lost in.
Hey besties, welcome back to another episode of I Missed Me. Today I am especially extremely excited because I have Lindsay Liu with me, and she was in a very popular show that you may know called Too Hot to Handle. So I am extremely excited for our conversation today. I feel like people get Lindsay, welcome to I Miss Me.
Thank you.
People get this perspective of like they get such a small like version of someone, and me having a conversation with you, I'm like, people probably will don't, or maybe we'll never get to see like who you really are. And that's why I'm opening this space up of like, I want people to get to know you for you and your heart, because you have such a beautiful heart that I want people to see that. So welcome. How are you? How are you feeling?
Thank you. That was such a beautiful introduction. Thank you for that. I'm doing amazing. I'm so excited to be here chatting with you.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for today's conversation. You were in Too Hot to Handle.
Yes.
I watched Too Hot to Handle. I love it. It's one of my favorite shows. How was your experience being on the show?
It was unlike anything I could have imagined. Bigger than life. And it is a experience that I'm forever grateful for. However, it was really difficult. A lot more difficult than I had imagined.
What are those like difficulties like that you look back and you're like, people don't get to see this? And I feel like if they did, nobody would want to be there.
Yeah. To be completely honest, I could barely watch it back.
Really? Wow.
There are some people who have gone through this experience and love watching themselves back. Like, can just sit there and binge all the episodes and dissect everything. For me personally, I couldn't. Because from the period where we were casting, going into filming, and then rewatching the show back, so much time has gone by in between.
Really? How much time? Can you talk about that? Did you sign something?
I can talk about it now.
How much time goes after?
It was a little bit over a year.
Oh, and that's so frustrating.
From once we wrapped filming and then the show coming out.
What?
So it was just a lot of waiting around. And then during that waiting period, you have no clue what's going to make it on the show because you film for so long.
And you change so much as a person. That's like opinions that you had back then.
And you're only seeing a small glimpse into a person's life. And that goes through editing, goes through producing, like all of that. So you really don't get to see who people are as like a person truly. It's just what you're meant to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I felt like I grown a lot for the better, but it's just so hard to see that version of myself. And I'm from the small glimpses that I did see, I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? What are you saying? Like, that's not you. But
and people don't get to understand the growth. I feel I have so many questions. Oh my gosh. What is like the biggest misconception that you feel like people got?
From watching the show, a lot of people saw that I was really mean, very outspoken, but not in the right way. That's just from like what I've seen on social media, people saying, oh my gosh, you're being so rude, you're being so mean to them. It was, I don't know. Like, I just don't relate to that version of
like
myself.
Like, you don't feel like it's you on
no,
TV.
No, I felt like I did put on a show just because I felt like there were so many big personalities that if I didn't speak up, I would have just, like, gone lost in...
So much pressure. Yeah. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned about yourself through this whole process?
You know, I went onto the show thinking I was going to find the love of my life. That's why I even applied.
If I can ask you, like, sorry I interrupt you, but the most honest question, did you go into the show wanting to find someone to spend the rest of your life with or for the attention that you knew was going to come after the show?
So even before I did Too Hot to Handle, we didn't know it was Too Hot to Handle.
You really don't know?
No.
Okay.
No clue. They make it so difficult for you to figure it out because you're being casted under a completely different show.
Okay.
Different, like, different name, a different concept. And all the way up until you're there in front of the cameras and they say, surprise, you're on Too Hot to Handle. Yeah. You truly don't know. Like, wow. Obviously you have your, like, suspicions and all of that, but you don't know for sure. And before I did Too Hot to Handle, I went through the casting process for Love Island.
Love Island.
Like, a lot of people don't know this. And I basically filmed for over a week as a mock crew for Love Island.
Wow.
And yeah, I went through the entire process. And the reason why I did that was because I wanted to put myself out there and find, like,
actually,
my person.
Find someone.
Yeah, I've never been in a relationship before. So it was just, like, something that I was dying to achieve. After that didn't work out, Too Hot to Handle came to me, well, as a different show, and was like, are you looking for a summer on a yacht, meeting new people? Like, you could find your person here. And obviously I saw that as a sign and said,
yes,
yeah, like, I, you know, why not? Because it's so hard for me to put myself out there and be vulnerable in terms of, like, relationships. So I thought I was so closed off and I needed something this significant to pull me out of my shell.
Wow. That's so amazing. Oh, my gosh. So, biggest lesson that about yourself after, you know, going through, I mean, you go through not only romantic relationships, but, like, you go through friendships and, like, you get to meet people that may be putting on a show that, like, what, you know, how did you stay grounded and what is the biggest thing that you learned about yourself of being, like, in that behind the scenes type of, you know, process?
Yeah. So being on there, I went into it with this misconception about myself that I wasn't able to open up, that I was really closed off. I even told the girls this before I went on the show. I packed like 3 suitcases filled with stuff. And I said, no, I'm not letting anybody borrow my stuff at all. Because on the shows, like, a lot of girls switch out their clothes or they just share things because you're there for so long. You're only allowed to bring, like, a certain amount of things.
Mm-hmm.
I packed everything one by one and I said, this is all
nobody's
for me.
Nobody's touching anything.
I'm not sharing anything.
Where do you think that was your actual mindset before the show?
Yeah.
And where do you think that came from? Like, a fear of loss or...
I think it came from a lot of insecurities of wanting to be, like, the best looking person or, like, just having everything that I needed to make myself feel beautiful. Because living in LA, everybody's gorgeous. Everybody has, like, the best thing and it's always vying to be, like...
Or the money to be, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. Like, vying to be bigger and better than anybody else.
Mm.
And I felt like I adopted that mindset for a really long time and just wanting to... be so out of this world and just feel so beautiful and gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was truly lacking in that, which is why it turned out to be, like, superficial things.
Yeah.
So I was like, nobody's going to have this. I bought the best clothes, like, the newest things. I'm not sharing with
anyone.
Nobody's
touching them.
I get there, immediately, like, bonded with all the girls. Next thing you know, I'm dressing them up for their days. I'm not going on them, but I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you would look amazing in this dress that I bought. Doing their makeup, doing all of these things. So not even in the relationship aspect, it showed me that I'm a lot more...
compassionate and sharing
and
genuine that that you thought you could be. And that's so beautiful. What was that day where you kind of just shipped that mindset of, I can actually share and it's okay. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not less because someone is more, or we can both be a lot and it's okay.
I think it was from hearing a lot about their stories behind the scenes. Like, you don't see any of this on camera or yeah. like on the show. It's just more of what I went through in that experience. Mm. But it's just everybody on the show comes from so many like different places and walks of life. That is so incredible once you just sit down, strip back all the layers of phones, of having all like these outside forces, that you're truly getting to know them as people. And
you just like empathize in like a human level. What was your favorite part about being in a reality TV show?
It was to have something, to have an experience of your own. Like, nobody else can say they experienced that, being there with that group of people at that time and place. Mm-hmm.
I love
like, that. Something that I can just have and call my own.
Like, you can just say, I went on Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah,
like,
I went on Too Hot to Handle. That's insane. The best time, yeah.
That's crazy. Wow, I love that. And what is... Okay, we were talking about this before. Karen, yeah. I have so many questions, and I didn't want to ask any because I want to ask them on the episode. What is a misconception that you just, you know, you walked into the show... that you left out of being like, this was not what I thought it was going to be? Was it maybe like, you know, the blowing up type of part that like reality paints you to, you know, you walk out of the show and you're a completely different person in front of people's eyes? Like, what is that misconception that you had about being on TV?
This is such a great question because when right before I found out it was Too Hot to Handle, they were asking me a lot of questions about like my dating life or my past relationships. And at this point in time, I was already living in LA for, I think, like 5 years. And I did go through a phase of hooking up, like going out, getting drunk every single night, being with this person, being with that person, and kind of chasing that like clout mentality. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in that. Mm. So when they were asking me about this, and I said, yeah, oh my gosh, I've been with this person, I've been with that person. Like, I'm so...
experienced, and I've been
and,
through a lot.
I felt like I needed to put on a show and say all of these things in order to make it on this show.
The show.
And I just had this mindset of, okay, like, I just have to tell them past versions of myself so they think that I'm good enough to be on here, and then I'll just figure it out once I do get on. Mm. And when I did make it on, they put me in as a bombshell, which is somebody who's going in with the mentality of fucking things up for everybody else, of ruining relationships, of just being like...
Do they tell you that you have to be that person? Like, you know, when they walk in and they're like, I'm going to fuck shit up, I don't care about if anyone is coupled up. Do they tell you that you have to be that person?
Mm-mm, no, they don't tell you anything. It's more of like, okay, I know this
it's based on your personalities. Yes. Okay.
And they put me in that because based of all the answers that I had given them before. So when I actually
that weren't even like
in,
your actual
yes,
answers.
It wasn't like actually me. I was celibate for so long when I went.
Wow.
I was celibate for, I think, like 8 months. So I wasn't hooking around. I wasn't hooking up with people. I wasn't like hoeing around or doing all of these things. But that's the impression that I gave
that
them.
You
so
gave.
They said, oh my gosh, she's perfect for this like role or this like being a bombshell.
Yeah, fucking shit up. Yeah.
Yes. So I went in there and I was like, oh my gosh, if this is what they think I'm perfect for. I felt like I kind of had to embody that, but I couldn't.
And it was a slap in the face too of like, those weren't even my answers. And because of the answers I gave, now they think I'm, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it just all stems from me not being, like, open and honest with myself. Like, I was not able to...
Exactly.
Yeah, be myself at all. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's what the experience taught me, was that I went into this thinking, what can I say about myself to that they would want to hear?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just... It stems from, like, being a people pleaser, too.
Yeah.
Like, just... telling them what they wanted to hear, and then the outcome being not what I was expecting, even though that's like...
Well, I guess that was such a like healing experience for you to like walk into this experience and then walking out and being like, I don't have to exaggerate who I am for people to like me. And if they do like me because of the version that I exaggerate, they're not liking me for me, you know? Is that what you think? Is that what you think it healed?
1,000%. Because I went into that having this like certain mindset about myself, and then walking out of it being like, oh my gosh, I'm completely different. I was not giving myself enough credit. I was being really harsh on myself. And it was just a whirlwind of experience, like breaking all of that down while still being in the hells, because mm-hmm. I did go on there to find love. And the minute I got on there, the people, I love them to death. I love all the boys. But it was just not aligning with what
you
want, wanted.
What you
yeah.
actually want. Okay, so you walk out of the show, and obviously there's a lot of attention that comes with the show, and oh my gosh, it wasn't too hot to, yeah. too hot to handle. All of the attention that comes after reality TV, and you get invited to all of these events, and you're in this public eye. Where everybody that, I mean, goes into reality TV, obviously that's what they want walking mm-hmm. out. You know, that's what I would want, like, walking out. I want to be the one who blows up. I want to be yeah. the one who has, like, the most attention, because it's going to get me brand deals and money and mm-hmm. all of this stuff. Once you're in it, what is the biggest lesson that you learn about yourself of, like, this isn't actually happiness? You know, this is very temporary. This is very materialistic. Like, I matter more. Like, my personal growth matters more. Like, what have you learned about getting all of these things? Like, has yeah. it made you happy, or have you had to realize that happiness actually comes from within and from other experiences that's not necessarily, like, materialistic?
Yeah. So obviously, going on to the show, you know there's going to be a lot of attention on you afterwards.
Yeah.
And I thought that would change, like, my life, or just made me feel so much more content and happy. And it did. Like, it brought me a lot of incredible opportunities that I would not had gotten before. But, like, that just made me feel a lot more lonely, because then I had to look inwards and kind of see, why did I feel like this was going to bring me, like, content, or bring me, like, a sense of peace?
Yeah.
It was just, I was searching for something else that I was searching for this, like, deep feeling of feeling like I was worth it, or
attention,
that I deserve these
yeah.
things. Yeah. And after being on the show and reflecting on that and healing a part of myself, like, this is not going out the way that I wanted it to, but it's taught me to be, like, a better person from it. Because, like, before going on the show, I just had this idea of me finding my person. I was so stuck on a certain outcome mm-hmm. that the minute it didn't work out like that, I completely broke down.
Mm.
Like, could barely watch the show back, could barely, like, think about the experience. Like, everybody else was so happy with the way that things turned out, with,
like,
their
even
part
if
on the
I
show,
didn't
and, yeah.
end up with someone, I got this and that,
yes.
and you wanted a person, and that's
yes.
what you did not get.
Yeah.
Like, you got everything else except the person. Wow. Like, you had a certain expectation.
Yes.
How do you heal that kind of wound of, it is okay if it's not here that I found my person, you know?
I have found self-love. Like, that's what I came out of it with. And I had to keep reminding myself that, because you go through a lot of workshops on the show. Like, they put you in, it's basically called a retreat of mm-hmm. rather than being, like, in the villa or in the house, they call it you being
retreat.
In a retreat. And they put you through a lot of, like, mental challenges where you had to dig down and be so vulnerable and open with a bunch of, like, strangers. And it caused, since I didn't find a person there, it caused me to look inwards. A lot, and find out what I was lacking, rather than, like, why can't I find a person for me? It was more of, okay, what do I need to find in myself?
What have you worked through that now, where you can, like, sit here and say, like, I love myself, and I don't know, I know that my person is gonna come, because you're gorgeous and you have all of these things to
Thank
offer
you.
And it's gonna come, but I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I'm okay with that? Or
I would like to say that I'm fully healed, but I'm not. Like, healing is not linear. It's
yeah.
a constant battle every day. But I can fully sit here and say I love myself enough to know that I need to be patient and have compassion for myself. And I'm constantly...
Besties, when I first started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling hoodies with positive messages on the back, and it is so easy, all just because of Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online store stage to the first real life store stage, and all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whenever you're selling. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Besties, I truly cannot recommend Shopify enough. You guys know that I have a business and it is hosted on Shopify. So besties, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mafiansures, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/mafiansures now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, besties, shopify.com/mafiansures. Thank you so much, Shopify, for sponsoring today's episode. Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more. And it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started, and for a very limited time, I Missed Me's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties, and I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Falling back into this like pattern of being so attracted to the wrong people and the wrong things for me and seeing the best outcome or having like a certain outcome in mind to where I'm seeing the best in people or seeing the best in situations and I'm not being like completely honest with myself. Mm-hmm.
And I admire you so much opening up about that, because you could also sit here and be like, yeah, I love myself and I have boundaries and I don't accept any less, because it definitely happens to me. Like, yeah. I have a self-growth podcast and I still see myself not anymore, and that's like my biggest, you know, thing in 2024 is just not accepting any less than I deserve. But that was a big thing for me in 2023 of like saying that I have these standards and these boundaries, but the moment this toxic ass but very cute guy walks into my life, I'm gonna like try to see the best in you, or maybe try to fix you, or maybe make you see that I'm worthy of you changing or want to commit. But it's really not. And like something that really helped me, might help you and might help the people that are watching this, is every time you're talking with a guy, and it's not just a guy, but it's just like friendships and relationships in general, is ask yourself, if someone were to tell you that you are just like that person, how would you feel? If someone were to tell you that you are just like the guy that you're talking to, how would that make you feel? And that is such an eye-opener of like, I've talked with pieces of shit. Like, I've talked with the worst type of men that, like, you know, like cancel on me that, you know, half an hour before we were gonna see each other, like, just like narcissistic, toxic people. And if someone were to tell me you're just like them, or you, like, you're just like your partner, or you just like, you know, a toxic friend that you may have, like, how would that make me feel? And I, like, I don't want to be like them, you know. And if you wouldn't want to be like them, then why have them around? And I feel like that is just such a big point of, okay, if I wouldn't want to be with the person that I'm talking with, then why, you know, I want someone to inspire me and make me grow. And that can be very helpful when it comes to,
that's,
you know,
so
letting go.
It's crazy that you're bringing this up now, because I feel like I'm currently going through that of being so attracted to somebody that
it's just not good for you.
Yeah, not good for me. But the thing is that I always shift the blame on myself. Mm-hmm. Or I try to think of it as, what can I say to them? Well, I don't want them to treat me this way, so why would I treat them that way? Like, I want to treat them how I want to be treated. Mm-hmm. So I'm going in there with being so open and honest, hoping that this time will be different, or that I'll receive that same energy back. But it's just not been,
or
like
maybe
that.
Staying a little longer is gonna make them realize that I deserve this. And I mean, I get, like, you're probably, are you in a talking stage right now with someone that you're not?
Yeah, like a situationship that I just keep spinning the block. And, like, every time I feel like it'll be different, or I reflect back and I think of it as, oh my gosh, when I was talking to them the last time, I was in such a toxic mindset that I was the problem, that I was doing.
Maybe now that I've grown, maybe it's gonna work out. But yeah, and I love that you bring it up, because so many people that listen to the podcast are stuck in those situations where it's like, I just don't know how to leave. Like, yes, I listen to self-growth podcasts. Yes, I've worked on myself. Yes, but how do I leave? Yeah. And it's just like, until you don't leave, you're never going to stop feeling the pain. So it's just more of like,
it's so hard.
Yeah, how long do you want to feel pain for? You know, like how long do you want to, but I get you, because I started this podcast like a year and a half ago, and I was in a 2-year situationship with this guy that I was the one going back to him because I feel like I needed him, and I
needed that validation.
You needed that validation, and it was that validation of like, he had so much to work on. Like, he would smoke weed and it was this like party animal of like the opposite of me, that I felt like I needed to help him become the best version of himself. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it was this subconscious belief of, I want to help him so that he changes. And he acknowledges the fact that I was the one that changed him so that he feels like he needs me. And it was just like me realizing like, oh, it's not him that I want. I just want to feel needed.
Yes.
And why do I want to feel needed? You know, so everything has a root behind it. And once you work on that root, it's like, you're actually able to let go. But I feel you, like, I understand how hard it is to, like...
It's so tough. Because then I go back to this mindset of, well, I'd rather feel something than nothing at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm putting myself through these like, situations knowing that it's going to cause me pain. But then I'd rather feel it and acknowledge it and then take it and grow rather than, like, cutting something off prematurely and not knowing, really not feeling it at all.
Yeah, and you feel like you, in the back of your mind, you know that you should let go, you know?
I know it, but it's just like...
Why do you feel like you've struggled so much? Hopefully he doesn't see this.
I'm like, hopefully he doesn't. I'm not saying anything bad, though. I feel like I'm giving him a lot of credit.
You're probably talking better about him than he deserves. Is it him, like, he doesn't want, like, commitment?
I honestly, I don't know.
Would you want to be in our relationship?
See, I think about this all the time, and if I'm being, like, 1,000% honest, I don't think it's somebody that I could be in a relationship with, because then there's always this, like, this fear of commitment.
From your part or to him?
From his part.
Okay.
Like, he won't be committed to me.
Hmm.
So I know that this is somebody that I won't. Like, most likely won't be able to be in a relationship with. Like, truly, if I'm being completely honest, I don't think so. But there's always a part of me that still thinks, like, it's good for me.
And I feel like it's just fear of, once I let you go, I'm scared I'm never going to find anyone.
Yeah.
You know? Because you are ready for commitment. Like, you are ready to be in a relationship. And it's like, once I let you go, am I actually going to be able to find someone that, you know, is going to want to be in a relationship with me? That's definitely, like, what happened to me is, like, I know I have to let you go, but, like, once I let you go, I'm going to be lonely, and I'm just scared I'm never going to meet anyone.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's, like, not meeting anyone and having you is it's the same thing. Like, it hurts me more having you than not, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to...
Sometimes I'm just a little too delusional, where I'm, like, this is meant to be. We're, we're soulmates, we're twin flames, we're this, or that. But you know what is a lot harder? It's when you have somebody that's feeding into that also.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh no, like, I feel like we've known each other from a past life. I've never met anyone like
you. He says that, like, too?
Yeah. He's also very intuitive, very, like, manifestation, knows all
really?
About this. Yes. So I just go back and forth.
Do you think that he's actually like that, or he just says it because he knows you are and he wants to have this impression in you?
A part of me wants to say that it's just him. Like, I see the good in him, and I see that it's so genuine, but also there's this little, like, voice in my head that says, okay, what if he's just doing this to fuck with you?
Yeah, like, he's just, like, saying it for you to, like, stay.
I just don't want to believe it.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never heard that, like, It's just hard to meet guys like that nowadays. That's why it's hard for me to believe.
And it's hard for me because I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I want to believe. I do believe that it's like real and genuine. So it's so hard for me to let go because it's so hard to have a conversation with people these days, whether it be men or women.
It really is.
Like to sit down and look people in the eyes and have a real, genuine conversation. It's so rare.
About topics that you genuinely enjoy, like spirituality, self-growth, like just anything. Like, especially in this, like, you know, environment that we were talking about of like people are just so superficial and
so are scared to open up. So I feel like once I find that, I just hold on to it so tight and not want to let it go. But sometimes I'm like, I think it's time.
It is. And also, like, why would you think you don't deserve more? Yeah. You know, like what makes you think you don't deserve more?
I don't know. I feel like I do deserve more. I know that. I don't know if I truly believe it, but if I say it enough.
Because
times,
if you believed it, it would be easier for you to actually let it go. But it's just like, it's just practice. Like, I talk about it, and I mean, no shame at all, because I went through it the whole last year where it was like one after the other after the other. And I was like, I think I got so tired of being hurt about the same thing over and over, because it was like one guy after another. Always the same thing of like, I'm not ready for commitment. Hitting you up at like 2 a.m. of like, what are you doing? It's like, no.
Was it a pattern you find yourself falling
into? It's a pattern, and it until you don't break it, you never stop going through it. And it's like, okay, well, one day I actually want to get married. And not only that, but it takes my attention and my energy from so many things that also make me happy. Like, I was so dependent that not getting a text back would ruin my whole day. Or that I would sit in bed until he would text back. Yeah. And then I would be like, oh, I'm ready to get my day going. And it's like, it's 3 p.m. You just wasted your whole morning. He probably did not even like think
didn't
about
even
it
think
like
about
that.
You. Didn't
and
even
then
think about
it's
you.
Just
it's
crazy how excited a text can get you and how sad it can't, like, not getting it. Mm-hmm. And it's just so exhausting. It's so exhausting that it's just like, a lot of people chase like butterflies, you know, of like feeling that anxiety of like, he makes me feel so excited. But like, really, like, you'll know when a relationship is healthy when you don't feel anything but peace. Like, sometimes like not feeling anything is really good.
Really?
So, yeah.
See, I don't know what that feels like. Mm. I think I'm always in like a constant fight or flight mode.
And that is addictive. Like, emotions, it's literally like an addiction. And that's why sometimes you know, you get stuck in that, I can't let him go. It's because you're addicted to all of those emotions. And it's just like being able to, you know, abstain yourself from it, just like alcohol or drugs or whatever, like abstain yourself from it a little bit. Because this is turning into like a therapy session. But
I love it so much. I needed this though.
No, okay. Like, we are wired for survival. Mm-hmm. Like, we are, I mean, we're animals at the end of the day. Like, we're wired for survival. So wherever our brain feels safe is where it's going to stay. And our brain requires 21 days of repeating something to feel safe. And so if you've been talking with this guy for 21 days and you constantly, you know, you wake up feeling anxiety and you feel happy and you feel sad and you feel all of these emotions, and you haven't died because our brain is wired for survival. That is what your brain feels safe in. So I have survived all of these emotions. I'm surviving in this toxic environment. This is what it's safe. So I'm going to stay here. And because you've gotten your brain so used to surviving in a toxic environment, when you take it away from it, it's like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. So I have to go back to my safe space, even if it's not healthy, because I've gotten used to my brain thinking that this is what's safe. Once I get it out of it, even if it's healthy, then you're going to feel the need to like go back. And that's why leaving toxicity is so hard, because our brain is actually processing it as, I'm in danger, I'm going to die. But it really
is
not.
How do you find yourself moving out of that and kind of sticking by it?
Like, so it's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. And it's like, do whatever it is that abstains yourself from it. Like, literally block the person or just like cut it off from the root. Just no contact. That is why no contact is so important.
Yeah.
sitting with your emotions and being like, I'm so anxious. I want to call this person so bad. I was going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And I would start hitting myself because of the amount of anxiety that I would get of like, I want to call him so bad. I want to call him so bad. I would literally like, it infuriated me. I used to
have a little rubber band around my wrist and I'm always like, just fucking. Like,
I want to text him so bad. I want to call him so bad. And just like being aware of the fact that it's not good. It's just what my brain feels safe in. Like it's not, you just have to abstain yourself for a little bit. Like it really is not that long, and feel your feelings. Like, okay, I'm feeling anxiety, and I'm feeling anxiety not because he's actually my person and it's a sign that I have to go back, but because my brain feels like it's in danger. So that is why.
That's amazing. I'm literally writing all of this down mentally right now.
It's so important for people to understand because it's so hard to leave. But there's a reason behind it. It's not just like, I'm so stupid and I can't stick with my panties. Yeah. It's like, no. Your brain wants to survive and it wants to keep you safe. So your brain is actually like doing you a favor because our subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
It only knows survival and death. So it doesn't want to die. But you're not going to die by leaving a toxic guy. So lesson recommended. Yeah. But let's go back to you. So what would you think are like non-negotiables and boundaries that you, leaving this guy aside, that are like your non-negotiables, that if you don't have this, we can't be together?
I haven't really thought about this.
Hmm.
Like non-negotiables for somebody else. I've always had these things for myself, but never truly sat down and asked myself, like, okay, what would I want in a partner? Like, what would the qualities be in a partner that I want?
Hmm.
And I think the main thing would be loyalty.
Okay.
Being with somebody who I feel would be fully committed to me, because I do have a lot of abandonment issues. Hmm. So the minute I feel like somebody could switch up or that somebody could leave me, that's when, like, everything comes falling down.
Hmm. And that's super important, and that's, I feel like you could learn a lot about that, because the first person that you have to be loyal to is yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and by remaining in places that are not for you, you're not being loyal to yourself. So that is a very big one that I feel like a lot of people like lack sticking to, but it's so important. Like just loyalty in general, like to your job, to your friends, to your, you know. This has been such a wonderful conversation.
It really has.
Thank you so much for being here with me. And before I jump into our last question, I have a little gift for you.
Oh my gosh.
This is my brand. And the message behind the brand is that we're all strangers healing together, because I really didn't know who you were an hour ago, and now we have just shared so many amazing things that we like have in common, and that we feel things in the same way. And like, I feel like there's so many people that just go through the same things, but because they are afraid to open up, they never, you know, realize that we're all going through something. And my message is with this brand is that we're all strangers healing together. So this is for you.
Thank you so much. This is such a beautiful.
You look so cute.
It's so cute. I love it.
You look so good. Okay, so jumping into our last question. What does healing mean to you?
Healing for me is having a lot of compassion for yourself and being aware that you're going through a journey, and just to take in all of those feelings. And as long as you come out of it a stronger, better version of yourself, that's all that matters. Like, you can't just have a one-track mind about like the concept of healing. You can't have that. You just have to let yourself feel things and try to grow and be better.
I love that. You have 12-year-old Lindsay in front of you.
Yeah.
And another little girl that is going through every single thing that you went through growing up. What would your biggest advice be?
My biggest advice would be to have love for yourself, to put yourself first always, no matter how much you feel like you need to please somebody else or do something else to make other people feel better. You have to redirect that energy to yourself, because you come first always.
Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for giving me a little bit of your time. Thank you guys so much for watching. Where can people find you?
On Instagram or TikTok at Lindsay Liu.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for watching. Don't forget to follow I Missed Me podcast everywhere. You can listen on every single streaming platform. Don't forget to follow me on social media at Mafia Ansures everywhere. And don't forget to check out the No Name Hoodies, no name project.co to get yours. We're all strangers healing together. I love you guys, and I will see you guys on our next episode. With love, Mafia.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.